This is Business Spotlight on New Albany, a 970 WGTK.
Hello again. Welcome back. This is John Ashton, and we are here at Coffee Crossing in New Albany, and we're sitting at the table drinking some delicious coffee and just talking with Larry Weiss with Elder Advisors. Larry?
Yes, John.
How are you, sir?
I'm telling you, I'm exceptional. Thank you so much for asking.
We've heard that about you.
Yes, I'm very shy, so be gentle.
Indeed. Indeed. Elder Advisors, what specifically, in a nutshell, the elevator pitch? What is it that
the elevator pitch would be, if you bumped into me in an elevator, which is very likely, by the way, you seem like the kind of guy that would frequent elevators. I'm not sure what that means. But anyway, to answer your question, I would say I help families transition their loved ones from their home to assisted living or to a nursing home, but along the way help the family protect their assets and also help qualify for benefits that they may not be aware of so that they don't go broke in a nursing home, which, by the way, is now a registered trademark with the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, along with the moniker Elder Advisors.
Well, fantastic. Congratulations.
Thank
you. That took a lot of work,
yes,
I'm sure.
My assistant, Tim Goble, spent about a year on that with the trademark attorneys and the government and all that stuff.
Wow. All right, so nobody else can utter that phrase now without paying you royalties.
I'm not even comfortable with you using it, John.
Okay,
so, you know, settle down.
It's gone from my vocabulary, I promise you.
Okay.
But that's you know, with the baby boomers all aging and the life expectancies expanded on the upper end, a lot of us, even those of us who are looking at retirement in the not-too-distant future and worried about providing for ourselves, still, for the most part, have some elderly parents that
yes.
we're very concerned about.
Right.
So what kind of advice would you give to somebody?
Well, I don't know if you know it or not, but what you were just describing is what we kind of refer to in our business as the sandwich generation.
Mm-hmm.
Because the children who are 55 and 65, suddenly, you know, something has changed because now they're having to deal with mom and dad.
Right.
And their life is turned upside down, and they suddenly get thrown into this. And, you know, we do monthly workshops, Don't Go Broke in a Nursing Home,
okay.
where we have elder law attorneys come in, and I do the financial part to show people how to protect those assets so they don't go broke in a nursing home.
Right. Now, is that something that techniques that you can do even if you have a parent already in a nursing home, or is it something you have to plan in advance for? Or
John, honestly, that's probably the best question you're going to ask today. So after this interview, just go home.
Okay.
Because this question
it's
was
over.
The best
okay,
one.
Here
okay,
here you go.
Yes. Because what happens is people prejudge their situation. They think, well, dad's already in the nursing home. We've already been self-paying for the last 3 years
mm-hmm.
at $6,000 a month. We went through $180,000, and the nursing home says there's nothing we can do. And the reality is, unless they're down to the maximum resource allowance in Kentucky, which is $2,000, or in Indiana, $1,500, a tremendous amount of things can be done to protect those remaining assets.
Okay.
So there's a lot that can be done. We work within the rules. We work within the entire rule book of Medicaid, both Kentucky and Indiana.
Okay.
Most people don't know the rule book, John.
I was going to say, knowing the rules is,
right.
is step one.
Exactly. They think they know bits and pieces, and what they've done is they've just constructed a big mess
mm-hmm.
that sometimes we can undo. Sometimes we can undo.
Great.
But that takes a legal component, and it also takes a financial component, which is, of course, where I come in.
Right.
That's Larry Weiss at Elder Advisors, so you don't go broke in a nursing home. That's called a plug in the industry,
yes.
John. I wanted to get you up to speed.
We have a special portion set aside for the shameless self-promotion, Larry. You don't have to throw it in there. We give it to you. Don't worry about it.
It's Christmas already.
is there a too early to start planning for this?
No, there really isn't, because then that's a dynamic that we call pre-planning. Because, and you may have alluded to this a minute ago, is because a lot of times you hear people say, well, I've heard you had to do something 3 or 5 years ago mm-hmm. before anything would really count. And what's called the look-back period is, in fact, 5 years.
Okay.
And you hear the stories. You'll hear people say, well, I guess mom and dad can give me $13,000 a year. And that's absolutely correct as far as the IRS is concerned with the annual exclusion amount. They can do that.
As a gift.
As a gift.
Okay.
But if you're going to go to Medicaid next month down at the L&M building on Broadway and try to apply for Medicaid benefits, they will say no, you are declined, because that is an improper transfer.
Because you had the money and you
That's
should have
right.
thunk about this before you came to see us.
Right, because okay. what's good for IRS is not good for Kentucky Medicaid.
Right.
But that comes back to pre-planning. There are things that we do working with the five-year plan to our advantage, which no one else will tell you that,
okay.
to move assets so we do have something.
With the, I guess, the advent of the assisted living
Yes.
And that's not just a nomenclature change. It's actually an approach change, isn't
it? It is. And, you know, a lot of health campuses, rehab communities have actually staggered different levels of care. They've got independent living. Then you step up to assisted living.
Right.
And then inside the confines of assisted living, you have varying degrees of assisted living. And the highest level is, anybody else would say, that's a nursing home.
Yeah.
But there's things that we do to help with that.
Can you give us a little hint? Some of the stuff you can do?
Well,
I mean, we won't steal your good lines or ideas or anything.
No, well,
trust me, he said.
No, I do. Was that a shameless plug for your? That was just, listeners. That was a shameless plug for John's integrity because he's a man of integrity.
Yeah, I am.
You are a mountain in the community of integrity, John.
I am. Okay. Just ask me.
Yes, I will tell you that. Well, Indiana is distinct, and you know what? You've heard, you know, the metaphor, apples and oranges,
mm-hmm.
John, and I'm being very serious. Man, are you talking apples and oranges when you talk about Indiana Medicaid eligibility in Kentucky?
Yeah.
Day and night. Here's one quick example. The consensus is Medicaid will not pay for assisted living.
Okay.
That's certainly true in Kentucky, but it is not true in Indiana. There's a Medicaid waiver program that we can help families with so that the family can even stay in their home.
Wow.
And qualify for Medicaid because the state realizes it's cheaper to keep them in their home than into a full-blown nursing home environment where a lot of times they don't need that full custodial care of $7,000 a month. And we have families here in Indiana that are assisted living in the actual assisted living community, and they're on the Medicaid waiver program. Because, again, Indiana is very proactive and very pro-family in this regard because they recognize dollars and cents, it's still cheaper to pay $3,000 to cover them in an assisted living when they don't really need $7,000 a month in a nursing home.
Right. So that makes perfect sense.
And that's one easy thing for us to do that we help families, but we have to line the assets up properly. And a lot of times people will say, well, isn't the state going to get mad when they find out that we did this? Not good. They're never going to find out because I'm going to tell them.
Yeah.
Part of the application process is we disclose all this up front. There is no shortcut. We just know the full process of the rule book I alluded to, and most people do not.
Is there a residency requirement? So if someone listening right now who's dealing with this situation or soon to, can they move?
Well, you know what? That's your second greatest question.
Okay.
Okay, you're on fire, baby. I'm getting a little warm.
I'm thinking I might do this for a living.
Yeah,
you never can tell.
I'm going to step back. Yeah, you might want to consider for vocation. The states, and you know what? The facilities themselves will tell people different answers because you have to understand the nursing home, they have their own issues, their own vested interest. I can tell you with almost concrete certainty for Indiana, because we've had this happen, is we've had people in Kentucky come to Indiana. If they've been in that bed for one day, that's their residency for Indiana, so we can file for Indiana. Technically, that would be the case for Kentucky, but sometimes it can be a little more dicey. Again, we're down to this apples and oranges, because what you're asking is really something that we call placement, because I just had a situation where the Kentucky resident was at a hospital in Indiana, and the family was torn between taking them back to Kentucky or Indiana, and I'm fighting with the discharge person at the hospital because I'm telling them one thing, and they're saying, well, we're not really sure. So then they make a phone call to the nursing home, and it got really uncomfortable because there's too many cooks in the kitchen.
Right.
But the quick answer is Indiana's pretty straightforward on that. Kentucky should be, but we work with that.
Yes. Kentucky, just judging from you, doesn't seem to be really straightforward on much of anything.
Well, I mean, yeah. It's like I tell people, the caseworkers are never looking for a reason to approve a benefit in an application.
Gotcha. Larry Weiss with Elder Advisors, our guest here on Your Home and Life. We've been talking with some people here in the past few weeks on the show specifically, and there's a difference between profit elder care places and not-for-profit nursing homes and things like that. Is there a difference in how you react with either of those two types of organizations? Or?
Well, let me give you a good story. This is your third best question, John. I'm keeping track.
I'm on a roll.
You're
man.
On fire, baby. On fire. This is a great question because if someone goes to the hospital, if they've been there for a qualifying at least 3-day event, you know, they fell and broke their hip or something.
Right.
Now they're being, once they're stabilized at the hospital, they can be placed at a rehab where Medicare will pay for 20 days.
Okay.
Now here's the dirty little secret. Pretty much any nursing home facility rehab will take that person for the 20 days. Why? Because Medicare is going to pay the 100 days.
Right.
But here's the dirty little secret, and at the worst possible time, the family members don't know this. And this is what we try to tell people at the workshops, which was don't go broke in a nursing home.
Right.
Which is a lot of these facilities are exclusively private pay. And after day 20, because you hear people say, well, Medicare will cover 100 days. Well, the first 20 is 100%. The remaining 80 days, Medicare may pay. If the person in the hospital is demonstrating a physical and a mental, improvement, then mm-hmm. Medicare will continue that on their Medicare supplement and so forth.
Right.
But what I want to get at is a lot of these facilities, if we'll say at the end of 20 days, they say, I'm sorry, the rehab says she's not going to work, you're going to have to transition to private pay. And the family says, well, we don't have any manual Medicaid. There are facilities, and I've had people do this, where say, you have to move mom out.
Wow.
We will not take Medicaid.
Wow.
So that's something we really work with the families, to avoid that, to find facilities that will transition ultimately from private pay to Medicaid but still give them a good level of care.
How often do you have your seminars? Where are they held, and how can people get to them?
We do them monthly. Usually the first week of the month, you can go to the website, elderadvisors.com, and that's ERS.com. And the next one coming up is going to be, I believe it's April 9th, is a Tuesday in Kentucky at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. at the Four Points by Sheraton, formerly the Country Inn and Suites,
mm-hmm.
Across from Gate 4. And for the Indiana folk, April the 8th, which is Monday evening at 6 o'clock at the Holiday Inn Express. But we do them monthly.
Okay, and it's Elder Advisors.
Yeah, ERS.
ERS.com.
Correct.
All right. Larry Weiss, Elder Advisors.
The one and only, John.
Hey, there couldn't be another. They broke the mold.
I won't allow it. Thank you so much, John.
Won't allow that. It won't allow you to say, don't go broke in a nursing home either. You say those words, you got to pay him.
Don't go broke in a nursing home.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Great,
John.
To meet you, Larry. Thanks
Thank you,
a lot.
Sir.
All right.